Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
You're darn right. That ain't no lie.
Justin Young.
Hi, everybody.
Gentlemen, what I'd like to talk to you today about After Things, where we tend to talk about things more media-related, we could certainly mention the fact that Star Wars is now, like, you know, kind of like the biggest thing ever.
And, you know what's funny is it is, but really domestically, I'm surprised at how I don't want to say soft on the international side, but I'm surprised at what a cultural very, very American explosion it is.
I had a friend that had a theory. On why it will not beat Avatar internationally.
Well, we'll see, because they just did an opening in China, and there are predictions that China was going to be soft. Because, like, you know, the pre-sales in China aren't as good. The pre-sales aren't there. And you know, when they put stormtroopers on the Great Wall of China, and I think people may have been scared to think, like, oh, this must be something new the Communist Party is doing. I think it's like, wait, with the Death Star, that's not a good idea. Okay. So turned out it did really well. It's done really well. And I don't know. We've seen the domestic tracking before of, like, how this tracks. Like, it's double where Avatar was at this point in time domestically, right? And so, and it still has energy. It's still got gas in the tank. I haven't seen the tracking for worldwide yet. And it's interesting. It's like, we know China's a big market. China's the second biggest market. Do you know what's been the biggest market after China?
India?
Justin Robert Young?
United Kingdom.
Really? Oh, of course. Wait. Yeah. Wait, what? Yeah. There's not enough people there. It's a tiny, tiny island. How, after China, it goes to the
UK?
They
love seeing the movies, man.
This is a tiny little space. It's a little. It's just so small.
It's population of the United Kingdom is what, 80 billion or something? I don't know. I'm just guessing. UK population. One is they almost speak the language. So almost. You have that advantage of it. 64 million.
They still don't write the word color properly, but
no. Yeah. So well, if we look at worldwide, and you take something like, let's say, Avatar, right? Avatar all time worldwide, and you look at the top countries, Avatar did 200 million in China. It did 105 million in Australia, 175 in France, 162 in Germany, 171 in Japan. And then there, the United Kingdom did 150. So that was certainly big in those countries. But if you look for other countries and where things have done, you see the UK often is one of the biggest, even given that it doesn't have the same population. So point is we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. And it opened bigger in China than some people are predicting, but I haven't seen the long-term track. But
What was your friend's theory?
Oh, the rest of the world is filled racist. With racist misogynists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe that. I read it in an email once, leaked from Sony.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens and what will take place there. But that's not what we're here to talk about, because you know what? We'll be able to talk about Star Wars box office returns next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after. Yeah. We touched upon briefly in Weird Things about the VR showing at CES. We had this week, we had the announcement that the Oculus is going to be shipping for $600. And part of the sticker shock is Palmer Luckey had said, you know, oh, we're going to sell it at cost, we're going to do this. But in order to, and these things obviously ended up being more than they wanted to. They're not trying to make money off this thing initially, but they're trying to get those components and things together. It costs $600. And there's also the fact that it's not a standalone device. Some people are like, well, you know, the iPhone's this, you know, the iPad's this. Like, yeah, those things work by themselves.
Yeah.
And if you start looking at what PCs are rated for the Oculus, a lot of gamers realized, ah, you know, this thing that's perfectly good for other stuff isn't rated for the Oculus, which means I got to go drop another $1,000 or $1,500 to get a gaming rig. And so, I mean, you'll be able to get like a whole package, I think, all together, probably like $1,500 or $1,600. But that's big. That's a niche market. It's a niche market that spends a lot of money on games.
How precise is the tracking on those? Because I hear that the Vive is just like just pinpoint accurate.
The Vive tracks three-dimensionally in space, right? The Vive can track you as you move up and down and you move left to the, not just where you turn your head, but the Vive goes if you stand up or sit down and squat and goes up or down. And the Vive is so much more intense like that. And eventually, you know, I don't know what the current gen Oculus does, but it's designed for you to sit in front of your computer in your chair.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Vive is, hey, stand up and do this.
So as far as the tracking, as good, you think, or?
Oh, no. I mean, it's
no.
It's, yeah.
No, I mean, the Vive is something you can, if you stand up and you walk around, the whole world moves, adjusts to that. Where the Oculus, you stand up and you're still, your world doesn't shift. If you tilt your head, it changes.
Right. You are just in the world and you're moving on your joystick, you know, around the world, right?
Right, right. Yeah. No, I get all of that. I'm just talking about the precision of you know, like because the only one
motion.
Yeah, stuff. Exactly. Yeah, whether it's laggy as you flip.
No,
your head
I think that's the reason why they're you know putting the specs so high on, mm-hmm. on the computers is they want to make sure that you get as smooth of an experience as you possibly can. You know, there's a lot at stake. You know, especially considering that this is going to be a niche product. That like, you know, if you drop this amount of money and you upgrade your computer, you better deliver a unique experience. You know, mm-hmm. There's only going to be so much that like, it's a beta that people are going to account for if they drop, you know, close to $1,500.
So have we talked a bit about what is the unique sales proposition of VR? What kind of story can you only experience in VR that just fundamentally nothing else comes close to it? What is the killer app for this?
First, this year, it's going to be gaming. This year, it's going to be the idea that when you hop into Call of Duty or you hop into whatever, and it's ready-made for game engines to be able to integrate that, that's going to be the big experience is people talking about how long they're spending inside of there playing games because it's such a more intense experience. So that's my prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you're – what's going to be interesting to see is like, is there a AAA title or a very popular game that becomes like the like, oh yeah, no, I play it, it's popular, but like I played it in VR and it was amazing.
Yeah. No, I could totally see that. It would be a fundamental paradigm shifting experience.
I think that, you know, but it's a game, it's gonna be the most awesome game peripheral.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's gonna be for a little while until you get all the cool stuff you can do with an HTC in a standalone device, like a Gear or whatever. When you can fit, hey, I've got positional tracking. I can walk around my room, and that's what's cool about the HTC Vive is if I had this on right now and I got up and I walked around my room, as soon as I got near a wall, a little grid would appear and say, hey, back up. But when I back up, I'm really in that space, and it's like being in another dimension. It's just like being in another dimension. And so I think what will happen is you're going to get the price of displays is going to fall. And when you can put a 4K display in there and not have the screen door effect, which still the new Oculus has and still the HTC has, but when you get rid of the screen door effect and you just see the image. So if you put a 4K display in there and you have a processor that can drive it and positional tracking, we're a generation or two away from chipsets that will do that. But once we have those, boom, that's when the explosion happens. That's when you put this thing on your head and you're like, oh my God, I'm really there. That was a limitation of the HoloLens. HoloLens is amazing in a concept, but when you realize they can only drive this little display in front, what they can do, that little window is awesome. But when you're like, you turn your head and you're like, are you looking at the corner of your eye? I'm like, it vanishes. It's like, well, that's not real.
Yeah.
Oculus.
You know, it's one of those things that I almost worry about, you know, the entire genre, the entire vertical, because I think that we are still 1 or 2 years away from getting the big blockbuster amazing tech that we kind of want, that our expectations have driven us to thirst for. But, you know, who knows? Especially because this is so expensive. Like, mm-hmm. you know, any of these. Because the Vive might come in more expensive than Oculus.
Oh, I would imagine. I mean...
Vive will be more.
Yeah.
And then I guess also, like... You know, video games are a fairly mature market now, where we've grown accustomed over the last 30 years to the idea of $60 for an interactive, you know, 40-hour experience. I wonder if they can't push for a higher price point in VR experiences. I wonder if like $99 might not be the default expectation of what to pay for those.
You know, and that's you know, it's an interesting point, because it's like, and that's your reality. My reality is the most I've ever played for a game in the last 5 years has been $6 or $7,
right,
because I'm not right. a gamer. I'm not a guy that spends 30 hours in a given game. So it's a totally different value proposition. But we've seen with the release of games now is they do the add-on packages, they add in the other stuff in there. So they take the $50, $60 game, like, how do we get $100 for it? Oh, we'll take $2 pieces of plastic material and put this in there, these other packs. And it's weird, because, you know, you had this, you know, they announced the Star Wars box office returns, and people were pointing out, yeah, but the last Grand Theft Auto's made like $2 billion. But it's like, well, that was a lot of merchandising got fit into there that, you know, if you bought these, I mean, again, I'm not underselling how well Grand Theft Auto did at all, but that wasn't like $2 billion of pure just to play the game. That was $2 billion of these extra special packages, this other stuff there. But you're probably like, yeah, I think that, what's that?
The high end of the curve, they were able to maximize mm-hmm. that. In fact, that'll be my pick is the curve. A book about how to, you know, take your hardest core fans and figure out a way that allows them to give you more money. Did you just make that Coke float? Is that what just did you do a magic move?
actually, Andrew, remind me the next time that we're hanging out. I'm gonna do a new routine, which is just magic without magic. I'm just it's just gonna be all like. You know, all the flourishes and none of the payoffs.
I mean, I got four $20 bills here.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, it's actually a fun story. You know, I think you guys will really. I woke up yesterday, Andrew. Here, can you just
yeah,
hold
yeah of
this
course, of course, I can.
You know, I woke up yesterday and I went into my wallet and I had 1, 2, 3, 4 $20 bills. And when I took those $20 bills and I went down to the local store and I said, "Hey, sir, what could you sell me for one of these $20 bills?" Again, that is one, and then still in my pocket, 2, 3, 4 $20 bills. So I put that one on the table and I said to myself, "Okay, I'm going to take these $20 bills. I'm going to fold it once. I'm going to take these $20 bills. I'm going to fold it twice. I'm going to take these $20 bills. I'm going to fold it three times. And I'm going to, please, sir, put that in your palm." I then said to him, "Sir, there is one $20 bill right here in your hand. Is that enough to pay for my product?" He said, "Yes." So I opened up my hand and I took it out. I unfolded it once. I unfolded it twice. I unfolded it three times. And I found 1, 2, 3 $20 bills. Ooh, thank you.
So good. So good. I got chills.
Because we live in a consistent reality.
There we go. Patreon.com.
Wow, the number's going down.
Yeah, it's a shock.
I love it. We went through iterations where we had people memorize serial numbers.
Did I ever show you my You Will Pick the Sugar?
Yes. Well, actually, yes, you did that. And then you did a variation of it where you made a prediction that was Brian will have a very dry mouth when you made me stuff as many napkins as I could in my mouth.
Anyway.
Magic minus magic.
So I think, like I said, I think that for my opinion is that, we're going to get cool stuff now. There's going to be cool experiences, and I think there's going to be a cool thing. I don't, for people who aren't used to spending a lot of money on games and stuff like that, it's going to be, all right, well, that's, you know, we're going to see the incremental stuff with cardboard and stuff. But when the chipsets fall in price and all of a sudden for your $500 or $600 gets you a complete device, a fully complete device, that's when we have liftoff. And we saw that with Microsoft was pushing tablet computers for years. Microsoft had a tablet computer, said, this is what we think it is, this is what it is. And there were really two problems. One was a software problem. One was the idea that it was they were trying to push a laptop without a keyboard. And overuse of a stylus and an input thing, you're just like, nah, just give me the keyboard. That was problem number one. Problem number two was hardware, was that it was thicker and heavier and all that. The screens and all those things weren't there. And the Apple approach is Apple will wait until they think the hardware is at the right spot, and then they will move in. And people are like, why don't you make it cheaper this? Well, because we don't think we can do it inexpensively and have it be good. And then when prices fell, then they came out with iPad minis and they lowered the entry price, but those were things they didn't want to do before. I think that, and my theory is that we may see them jump into the game in a year or two when they think that, like, oh, we can do a really great experience because 4K displays and these things are there. That's where the technology needs to be.
Well, I do think that there, what is going to be very interesting is seeing where VR is in a non-game, non-game sense, in 2 years, you know, I think Apple will always, have a great ability to say, hey, look, here's a great content consumption or enjoyment device that, you know, works with all your stuff, and you can easily, you know, it's plugged into your iCloud, and you can watch all the movies that you already have on there and TV shows. Like, I think the VR as a content consumption device is an interesting idea.
Here's the way I try to frame it, though. Imagine in 1999, we're looking at a flat screen LCD computer display.
Sure.
And we're trying to figure out what is, and it's connected to a computer that's connected to the internet and all that. And we're going, what is going to be the content on this thing? What is going to be the content on this thing? Well, the answer is everything. You know, you're still going to have things where you're going to watch in front of a TV, but it's just a peripheral. It's just a display. Now we have this fully immersive thing that can be a lot of things. Brian talks a lot about the idea of the virtual desk, the idea that it becomes a new work environment, and that's a thing that a lot of people push for. It becomes everything. And when something's everything, it's nothing, because you're just trying to pinpoint what it's going to be. But I think that that's the hardest point, is you say, you sit in front of a movie theater screen going, like, what are we going to put on here? What's the medium of television going to be? And internet, we still don't have a really super now in the last 2 years it got better, but really practical way to watch network television via the internet. But man, Amazon and Netflix and Hulu are like, we got this covered, guys.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, it's really interesting that the conversation's gotten here, because when you mention the iPad, as much of a problem that Apple solved with hardware, it was really the idea that we now had a distinct class of like apps, of mobile applications. We knew what a mobile device felt like optimized in our hands with the phone, you know, both with iOS and Android. You know, there was just like to do a tablet before, you were just saying, hey, here are desktop applications that we are just trying to bring to this new thing. Whereas in the intervening time for Apple, they're like, okay, yeah, no, let's scale up the iPhone. People love to interact with these kinds of things. There are definite like touchscreen based applications that were just ready to go on day one.
Yeah, it'll be and you're already seeing a bit of that evolution in what content VR wants to be. We were talking about how when we did the Discovery VR project, in so many ways, we're just seeing a repeat of the early days of high definition television, where it's right now the story is the medium. It's all like, look at how high definition it is. That's why we're showing you this sunrise.
And it took a while to where, you know, HD just became the better way to experience very human dramas and very, you know, human stories. And I feel like we're going to go through the same thing with VR. At some point, the point of VR will not be, it's in VR. So with that, I'll see myself out. I'm going to go catch a flight. I do need to pack up and get out of here. So I'm going to bolt. But my pick is The Curve. Which I think you have to buy from England unless you do the Kindle.
No, I think somebody found an American link for it.
Okay, good. Well, again, The Curve. It's good.
Yeah. Andrew, you got a pick?
My pick is going to be that you do check out again the book Superintelligence by Nick Bostrom.
Still good, huh? Nothing's changed in the last 30 minutes?
Still good. Still good.
Yeah, my pick is thecontender.us. We're going to Iowa. We're going to go cover the caucus. It's going to be a fun time. If you are living in Iowa, shoot me an email, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. We are looking for folks in Des Moines.
Fun times. It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.